Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Dear gas prices, go take a hike. Toyota's hybrid lineup brings efficiency with power, savings with style, and tons of top tech. Think you can stand in our way? Think again. Toyota Hybrids. Toyota. Let's go places.
I'm like, I know what you're doing. You're double dipping. Like all these people are gonna f around and start coming to you. You're not low.
Oh.
I understand you, Jim Boylan out here with the app. remember Jim with the app? Remember Jim with the app? Man, my brother-in-law got an app that we can use to kind of train some of these.
Oh, I don't think I was.
No, Jim.
I don't think I was around.
Somebody first, man.
I don't think I was around for that.
No, nah, yeah,
I never heard
right
about
at the
that.
End. Right, shit. You and I jumped on here at the same time.
Wait, what? I thought you were the season before me.
Was I?
What's the app? What's the app?
Jim was trying to float an app to the powers that be. At the Birdo before it was the Advocate.
Yeah.
About like this, you know, this training app. And he was trying to get the players on board. And they were like, hey, numb nuts. You can just coach the team. You know what I'm saying? And then he tried to take it to Portland and some other spots.
What was the line that he was like, Michael wanted me to be the president or something of the thing?
God bless.
His conversations with Jim.
Jim. Do you?
I do.
All right.
That was my guy.
Is less
that was Tony's guy.
Jim Boylan brought us into the first year. He brought us into the coach's room before a game.
Oh, I heard that meeting.
And started talking to Kendall and Will and me about like what he's trying to do on the whiteboard and all this. And I'm sitting here like,
I think there was like three levels to that. He gave you guys one, and
mine was scheduled, and I didn't know that's what it was until after, and then I heard, he did this with all the media people. He like brings you in his office. He says, we had it scheduled.
You big fired.
For the week. Yeah. When you're coming to me.
You big fired. You're like, hey.
He's like, I really need a new friend. I need a new friend around here.
I hear you do something for a .com. Can you put a good word out there?
It was scheduled for the week that the season shut down. And then I'd never seen him again. Well, I saw him briefly, like kind of from a distance at the combine.
Rob was
like
a 2 years Mary. Later.
If I could get one column,
use your power.
I think he liked that I dove into the numbers stuff.
This is the pod, right? By the way, this is like, let's keep all of this.
This could go.
Let's keep all of this.
I asked him one time. I was when I was producing Lawrence. And about booking him to come on the show. Mm-hmm. And he was like, is he a nice guy? I was like, oh, Jim. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, you worried about the wrong
thing.
Oh, Jim asked if Lawrence was a nice guy. Yeah.
I remember when I saw Jim out there with my family when we was all marching and protesting and shit.
Oh, yeah, he was out there.
Yes, he was. Yeah. And Jim and I... have never really, it's just been on some, you know, hey,
sure,
how you doing?
Sure,
man.
Sure.
Or he saw me across the way, locked eyes with me, pointed at me. I was like, okay. Okay. I'm like, all right, Jim, we can take Jim off the list. You know what I mean? Jim was like, you know, like when you see your partner after you ain't seen him in a while, like, hey, man, I'm in the cut over here. Just so you know.
That was a layup for Jim. He was like, oh, this is all good for me.
Wendell Carter Jr. was out there.
Wendell was out there, yeah.
Jim was like, you know, the coach may not be on point, but, you know, y'all can come over for dinner.
Dude, that is so.
Shout out to Toyota. It was
kind of like, oh, my God. I always come in and ruin these things. All right. Shout out to Toyota.
No, that's funny, man. That's so.
And shout out to JB. Wherever you at, Jim.
Yeah. He's in USA Basketball now. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know when they play next, though. Or what their deal is.
I don't know what they need to qualify for. Grant Hill and Steve Kerr now?
Who knows? Maybe.
Who knows? I know Grant Hill. I don't know about Steve.
Okay.
Steve, yeah. was he an assistant on the Pop? I should know. I covered that team.
Was on like the Pop teams or on the Coach K teams?
Maybe on the Coach K teams. Yeah, I don't know if he was around for the Pop team, the last Pop team.
Yeah. They got their own issues right now. Although they're playing good basketball as of late, the Golden State Warriors. Putting it together on a little bit of a win.
They finally caught up with Steph Curry.
Did you guys see they called 10 travels in the Warriors Mavericks game last night? Yeah. It was the most travels that ever been called in a game. And somebody was like, House of Highlights or something, cut all the clips together. They were all travels.
I gotta get this out the league though, man. Like, we gotta have some kind of fun here soon. I think the carry and the travel, like, you know, when Steve Kerr mentioned that the carry went out when Allen Iverson did it, it's like, okay, I understand, right? But there wasn't anybody who was doing it as pronounced after, right? So it was like it was germane to him. Now with the Jordan Poole thing and now with everybody who has any kind of a hesitation move, it's like the game kind of moves forward a little bit and you have to kind of allow for it because, one, there's an entertainment value to it. Let's face it, this is all a television show, right? Uh-huh. And then secondly, you've got so many people. It's kind of like when the words in the dictionary change meaning, and you're like, damn it, I hate it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, I hate the fact that figuratively and literally have been kind of been just smashed together now in the dictionary because so many people are using it incorrectly. Mm-hmm. But if I'm going to give you an extra, like, a little hop step or a little extra beat because, you know, screw the defender. I want to see something amazing happen here. So I'm on the fence of all the things being
called and you right definitely now. Can't do it in the middle of the season. That's like changing the definition of a word in the dictionary. While you're taking the SAT.
Cold means hot now, man. Be careful.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, to your point about the entertainment thing, like, it's a more entertaining game if we get to see if Steph Curry would have made that shot at the buzzer last night or whatever. I don't know. Even though it was clearly, they show the replay, the pivot foot move, the left foot moves, and it's like, all right. Yeah. Travel.
It's kind of like when the foot glances the bag on a double play, you know, in baseball when you're turning one down. Now it's like in the neighborhood or in the area rule.
Right. It's in soccer now too because I'm not a soccer guy, but I've been watching it for years. With the offside stuff, it's like, oh my god, if a hair follicle on your forearm is like just like, oh, if I had just had my arm an inch further back, it's like.
What's your least favorite rule in basketball? Or a rule that you think needs to come back?
I think that the physical bodies have gotten strong enough where I think you can add a extra hand or a little more hand checking. I'm not saying go full hand checking, but I think guys are built.
Because you really strong, don't even see arm bars that much anymore.
No, because they call that too.
Because you can steer somebody with.
But weirdly, you see guys get away with offensive fouls all the time. You go up at the rim and you give them the arm bar when you're like that gets called a defensive foul. I give more of a problem with the way stuff is enforced than like any specific rule. Like the trend, I think Stacey gets mad at this too, and I completely agree with him. Either side, like if there's that, you know, there's contact on a layup and the ref waits to see is the ball gonna roll off around the rim and you're already going the other way. That's a stupid thing to really get mad about. But like that type of stuff. Like I think
refs get caught watching sometimes too. Like, you know, in the moment of like they love the game. Yeah. They're around it all the time. Like, they're like, oh, did he just do damn, I gotta call this real quick. You know what I mean? Like, that's messed up what happened to you, but we already went down on the court.
But I'll tell you what, did you guys watch the Richard Jefferson thing in Summer League when he refed the game?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That I actually thought was really educational for me and probably for a lot of people of like what he went to ref school. He did the whole thing. He took it really seriously. All credit to him. Steve and then when the lights were on, he didn't blow the whistle one. Mm-hmm. Like he didn't make any. And like there were refs from the other side of the court making his calls for him. And I'm like, damn, that must be really hard to do.
Well,
the best
players, you know, not even the best players, guys who are rotational dudes. Those are the guys who get away with the most rule breaking. Because they have to find that edge. Like Malik Rose, I used to work with Malik Rose on NBA Radio, and you know he used to talk to me about the arm bar and how he used to try to defend Chris Webber or Kevin Garnett or Tim in the practices, and he'd say like, you know, you do a normal arm bar, but he would get his hands strong enough and cuff and hold people like this while making sure that the arm bar was still secure. So those dudes gotta. You know, bend the rules just a little bit, you know, call it cheating if you want to, but Yeah, refs, you know, refs don't see everything. And when they do, you know, they're going to call it on you because they get graded poorly as well.
So yeah, no,
it's,
yeah.
It's just interesting to watch. Shout out to Tony Brothers, by the way. Yeah. Shout out to Tony Brothers because I love the fact that the refs are human. And if we're going to beep this out, right? Whatever. Yeah. If you have the balls to call an NBA player a dude, while he is running up and down the court
crazy.
In battle,
that's shout crazy. Out to you.
That man is time person of the year. Like that, sexiest man.
It also means he's ready to back it up.
Yeah,
he said it.
Because if somebody comes at you, you know they're going to say, "This is what he called me. This is why I came at you." So the moment you light that match, it's go time. Mm-hmm. Like you know that's you know, and we know like mm-hmm. there's a certain you know, temperament that comes with the moment those words, that sequence of words comes out of your mouth. You got to be ready for war. So, you know, I just hope when Tony is reffing any Bulls games in the future that he doesn't. But, I mean, you don't have nobody on this team that's really going to harass. Like, who's the
Gorn?
Who's the dude on the Bulls who gets on the ref's nerves?
Maybe Zach.
Stop it.
But not even. No, I'm saying that's my best guess.
With his shrugging or his... His demeanor.
Ooh, do you remember that?
He may not get back on defense.
He does the loud hand clap.
Yeah,
right
and he'll say stuff to him. There's no Grant Williams on this team though. Where like that first Bulls game this year when they were here, he was
and
every possession.
I think we found out why the Bulls are 9-11.
Wow. Okay.
Who's the Aggie guy on this team? That's not
Caruso, maybe, but he...
He's a nice aggravator.
He kind of knows how to...
He's the aggravator of like, come on, guys. I want Tony Brothers. I want the Tony Brothers energy. Like, I want people pregame being called...
If somebody was saying that in the Bulls practice, I guarantee they will not be below 500.
Dude, they need an Ivan Johnson.
Guaranteed.
See, this is the logic. This is why I like when Tony's sitting in this seat. This is the logic guaranteed. Right here. If the Bulls had someone cursing
you need
them out.
Always you need somebody on a basketball team that's willing to say that
you
to
somebody.
You need
somebody in your friend circle, in life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't, let me tell you something. If anybody out here is listening that has two or more friends that y'all roll around with and y'all always cool and y'all never bump heads, something bad is going to happen.
Something's bubbling up.
There's going to be a moment where a beer gets spilled and murder occurs because nobody's actually getting it out. Like the frustration of an entire 82-game season, right? The Bulls don't mess around and flagrantly foul anybody, right? They don't hand out tough fouls, so it's not like they're inflicting that punishment on someone else. You got a bunch of guys walking around the locker room who are millionaires who are thought of as at the top of their profession, right? When you lose, where does that go? Like, where does it go?
Mm-hmm.
You're not taking it out on the other team. You just got beat, you know? Okay. Or if you've had a tough start to the season. Right. And let's keep it funky. The people who go up to the advocate ain't to be tested. Who gonna talk crazy to Darnell or Casey or Rob? Or like these guys and girls who've been around this team have earned a certain amount of respect. Joe Cowley, these kind of people. So, like, when's the last blow-up we saw? Period.
Thad Young when he wasn't getting minutes.
When was that?
Shout out to Thad.
Remember when Thad first got here?
Well, it was also his role was a thing.
That was the biggest.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a blow up of like the three egregious mistakes thing.
Yeah.
He's like, I guess maybe I gave up 11 points in 2 minutes or whatever.
Nothing. Maybe it's enough and it's just, you know.
No, I don't think it's nothing.
Look at the championship teams. There's one or two guys who you just not going to cross.
Like, passive-aggressive only works until you need aggressive-aggressive.
Passive-aggressive never works. Never works.
Yeah.
In relationships, in professional life, it never works. And the people who are around me, passive-aggressive get you punched in the face. Say what you want. Right? Like, when I grew up, like, hey, you got something to say?
Yeah.
Say that. Yeah. What's going to happen? You know, especially in a professional setting, like, we ain't fighting. Nobody's fight well around here. Philpy has been known to slap a few people. Nah, but I mean, you know, I you know, the win against Utah, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that was one of those things where I'm like, oh, look at them. Because Utah's always been a weird, tough place to play, no matter what, right?
Yeah, when they
and
when
that third quarter, like, they got tough out there, not just by shot making, but they I think they answered some questions. It's just, can you do it consistent? Like, I want to see them be the team that you don't have to emphasize something and they fix it, right? Like, you hear Billy having to emphasize things, you know, in the lean weeks over these couple of years, last few years, where it's like, all right, the defense is an issue, or toughness in his own way of saying toughness is an issue, or moving on to the next play. Like, yeah, no, what's being emphasized between you guys that you don't need to have to constantly be called out about? Mm-hmm. And to me, that comes with dropping a truth teller in the locker room and looking around. Like Rondo, when Rondo was here, Rondo was like, hey, wait a minute, this ain't how you do it. No. Right? You just gotta have somebody who's not scared, or not scared, but who doesn't care about being liked as much as maybe some of the guys do.
Jason, I don't think I've talked to you since or talked to you from a microphone, at least, since the Billy.
We don't talk enough, Rob.
No, we don't. We really don't. But and since the Billy saying, hey, screw talking about Io and Pat in the starting lineup, our three best players have to be better. And so when you talk about a truth teller, right, Billy did it in his way. It was not like a core. He didn't do it in a coarse way. He did it in a way of delicately balancing. I respect these guys, have a lot of confidence in them, but
expectations.
Ultimately, they're the ones who need to lift this up. Yeah. And he's like, I'm kind of done putting it on Kobe White playing 10 minutes a game. Like, I'm just not going to do that anymore. What'd you think of that? Did you think that was a dose of what you're talking about?
I've been waiting. Yeah. I've been waiting, and kudos to Billy for doing it that way. There is no team in the NBA worth a damn whose three players don't pretty much, that's your character.
Set the tone.
Yeah, that's your character. Yeah. You don't play defense? Well, what do your best three players do? Mm-hmm. You know, you don't pass the ball enough? What do your best three players do? You know, you can't stem the tide when a crazy run is happening. Who are you looking at, right? And I think a lot of, you know, Billy's success in his almost 20 years at Florida, right? Or is 19 years, something like that?
We call it 2 decades.
Yeah, it's 2 decades as a great college coach. When you have the upperclassmen to kind of, you know, get everybody in line, is different in terms of a culture setting. When you're seemingly a professional coach, you're going to get young players in each year. You're going to get one or two. You're going to get one or two, maybe three new people, right? But for the most part, your upperclassmen are signed for an extended amount of time, 3 years plus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your upperclassmen on this team are Vooch, DeMar DeRozan, and Zach LaVine. So if you feel good about what they're passing down, then you go run around and go to the Final Fours, and you know. But if there's some kind of disconnect, or that's just what you are, then you expect it and you understand it. I was only putting so much on Io and Patrick Williams and all these other guys.
Well, we were. I mean, we were all saying that it's, hey,
it's different coming from him, whether
you want to talk about the way it looks to start games, whether you want to talk about the three-man unit net rating, like however you want to break it down, those three dudes were not playing well enough together. Really dating back to last year when we were saying, hey, look, I know all we want to talk about is Lonzo being hurt, but your quote-unquote three best players,
they've been in games.
Have been in games together, and that still happened on their watch. But yeah, it's different when the coach says it, and it's different when, Tony, it was literally the day that we put that podcast out where we talked about
where he said one of his
shortcomings as a coach is coaching the whole team the same, at least in our opinion, while also acknowledging that star players do get treated differently in the NBA. Like, that's just how it works. But it was that day, and it was everybody in the room, media-wise, we all felt the energy kind of shift there because Billy's never been that way. He just doesn't talk that way, at least not publicly. And it felt like he... Oh, we're kind of hashing something. We're kind of hashing something that happened a week or two ago, but it was significant. It looked like he came in there with that plan to do that, because the question, it was Joe Cali who asked it, it was pretty innocuous. It was just about the slow starts and what do you think of that, and do you think something needs to be changed? And then it turned into 10 minutes of follow-ups because he had something to say. And then, obviously, he had actions to back it up with sitting Zach in the fourth quarter, There's a, we've had that conversation. There's a couple different sides of that, but
that doesn't happen unless you talking to everybody above you as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
That's a good point. He doesn't have the confidence to go in that press conference if he hasn't discussed it with Arturas.
Maybe. I don't know.
It's been an ongoing conversation.
Maybe
it have to be like a one-time deal.
Well, I was going to say, because their relationship seems to be, Billy and Arturas seems to be more like they just talk every day. So they're generally on the same wavelength of what the issues are.
You want to sign an extension? Oh, yeah.
Well, so that's what I was more going to say. I don't know if I would say they had a conversation of, hey, Arturas, like, you cool if I bench Zach if he's not playing?
I'm talking about like, hey, listen, we know what this is. And
yes.
We know who we have to kind of step on here. Not step on, but kind of, you know, light a fire under and be like, yo.
Yes.
It ain't the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, they could sit down and have a couple beers and be like, yo, it's not these kids. It's our best players. Because
it's obvious. If we know it, these people are too smart to not know.
The best players know it.
Yeah, the best players know it.
And that was my thing, too, is like he had a plan going into all the issues that you guys, that the media was going to ask him. Obviously pointed back to the three best players. It's just, it took until that moment for it to finally be said out in the open.
In the open, yeah.
And I think that three best players, you know, might have three different messages that they're, like, I won't say listening to, but, like, going by right now. Like, Zach's trying to find timing and rhythm and all these other things. You know, DeMar DeRozan, I don't believe, came here thinking that he was going to get 28 a game. You know, I think DeMar was like, all right, this is the next step, and I'm going to show y'all that I can still play. Mm-hmm. And then you had to start to count on him being that. So now it's kind of hard to yank it back and be like, all right, this isn't it. Well, it's like, all right, last year this was it, and these dudes all around me think it's still it. So, and then you got Vooch, who, you know, he is at the end of his prime. So what's the next thing for him? Yeah. How am I going to look if I'm out here not making the shots that I didn't make last year and I'm not understanding where my offense is coming from? They're not giving me the ball. I'm not saying that they're saying this. It's just you got three guys right now who, you know, you show me a trio who has more going on that's expected to win right now, right? Like Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Marcus Smart, they understand. It's cemented what they have to be, how they have to play, and they're all relatively healthy, right? Any team that's three best players are either unhealthy or roles are changing or they're not sure if the role that they're in right now is helping the team win, you're getting what you get. So I don't know. With this team being under 500 right now, they can go on a 3 or 4 game win streak. And I will still be like, all right, I still have to see it. And we're still, what, a year since the guy who is the head of the snake has played basketball.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just there's a lot of questions right now that I don't know if the basketball itself is going to dig itself out of the situation.
Well, not basketball in December, because we saw what November and December basketball meant last year.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, granted, I guess we didn't get to see the full team that was in November and December, how they would have progressed.
They got to get on a little run here soon, though.
They do. Just to stay within shouting distance, because right now, man, it's crazy that they're out of the play-in. They're a half game out of the play-in.
We're a quarter through the season.
And they're 2 games out of top six. So, like, as bad as it can feel at times or as disjointed as it can feel at times, they're still within shouting distance. Mm-hmm. But you got to stay within shouting distance for when things coalesce.
Or just start winning.
Yeah, that.
Like, forget the shouting distance. Just start winning. You know, beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. Which is weird.
That's the thing. It's been a reversal.
Yeah.
You got the 2 wins over Boston and the Milwaukee win, and you know Miami has their own issues right now. They're only a half game above the Bulls, but that's still a win that nobody expected them to get to open the season.
I don't know. Like Miami, the Miami thing is I think is tricky. Because it's like Jimmy just doesn't care about regular season basketball anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like he'll play when he has to.
Yeah, the organization knows they can always win.
Right, range. But, yeah, that's why I'm not – you just got to be better than them in a regular season to make sure that your seeding is not dependent on what Miami is.
Right.
But then, you know, funny enough, this is before we knew Indiana was going to be this, but they blew out Indiana. Yeah, they got a Toronto win.
Your man's is out here doing
Have you seen the stat?
About Ty?
40 assists and zero turnovers in the last three games. No one's ever done that.
Hey, man. Hey, every once in a while. Every once in a while.
Man, that
there's a guy.
Can you imagine him with the Bulls?
That don't even start.
Yeah, I don't think we can go down that road today.
Yeah, don't even start. You're going to take it back to, you know, the draft preview show that we had about 3 years ago, and I thought it was going to be him or Denny Avdija.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got the fourth pick, so those two players are out of that, apparently out of that range, you know, and Pat was the selection. Tyrese Haliburton, man, the Sacramento, shout out to the Kings for always understanding who is good and making sure they're no longer around. Like, you know what, guys? Hey. This guy's way too good to be in Sacramento. Let's not do this. Even though the Kings have themselves a nice little squad right now. They're playing well.
Haliburton, this might not happen for him if he's playing next to Fox. And Fox has been great this year.
Who do you think is a better player long term?
Oh, Haliburton, without a doubt. Yeah.
It's Kings business,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
It's Kings business. Like, Indiana's got something. And the fact that, you know, they go and beat the Lakers on a buzzer beater. And if you watch that game, all game long, anytime the Lakers tried to Laker it, like, just give the ball to Ant or just get a ball to LeBron. Ooh. They're like, oh, no. We've got Tyrese Haliburton and we've got this guy. We got the guy that you wanted to trade for. Like, the Eastern Conference, man, everybody was right that there will be no easy nights in this Eastern Conference. So if the emphasis was beat the teams that you didn't beat last year, well, guess what? The teams that you did beat last year are better. So you got to beat them too. And that's what's happening with this season. They're tripping up on teams that they think they could beat, and then they get down by 8-10 points and have to fight their way back with mid-range jump shots and not getting to the free throw line.
And not finishing at the rim.
And thank you for listening, by the way.
Charlotte Hornets are the one easy night in the Eastern Conference.
Charlotte's got a lot.
It's kind of dark. It's kind of dark right now.
A lot going on.
Let's
blame Brittany Renner. Yeah. What'd you say?
Beep it, Claire. Beep it. or Tony.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I was going to change, and now it looks like I'm changing topics intentionally. I was going to shift gears anyway. Yeah.
Don't worry, I'm out of it. Claire,
we're recording this on Wednesday. Bulls are going to play Phoenix tonight. Mm-hmm. No idea how that's going to go, so we're not going to bother talking about the games. It'll be outdated immediately.
A loss.
Okay. I agree.
what are we playing around with?
But we'll see.
They're going to lose.
Well, when I say we don't have any idea, we don't have any idea what the margin of defeat will be. I don't know.
I'm just messing around. No, we're hoping the Bulls win, right? Devin Booker got 44 the other night.
Sheesh.
So hopefully he's tired this evening when the Bulls face off against the Suns.
Torrey Craig defends DeMar pretty well.
This guy.
Watch out for it. That's your guy.
Is Torrey Craig my guy?
Who are the Tony Gill guys? We got Michael Redd, Torrey Craig.
I don't think it's Torrey Craig.
Scoony Penn, maybe.
Did you guys see
Joel Embiid?
I think you might appreciate it. Did you see Luke Kornet the other night? He had an alley-oop, and he did the Stromile Swift.
Did he really?
And he said after the game that it was like a tribute to him. And he's a joke. So,
of course it is.
But the real is, and Darnell always gets on me because I'm young and I like, haven't watched all of these older, kind of forgotten about players now.
Right.
So I went back.
That's
I was
what
watching.
Should do.
After I saw that, I was watching some Stromile Swift highlights.
Listen.
Sheesh.
The 2005
what did the rim,
Memphis Grizzlies.
Oh, my God.
Whip.
Oh, the greatest NBA, NBA 2K team. Oh. NBA line. Strowman Swift, dude. When he came out, listen, when he came out and you were like, they just need a runner and jumper dude, like, damn the position. Small forward, power forward, didn't matter. You go and look at Strowman Swift. Top 10 highlights. You can't tell me he's not a Hall.
His top 20 dunks on YouTube are pretty
ridiculous.
For in game, like in tight spaces, didn't like matter. Exploding out of nowhere.
Who coached that team? Hubie Brown?
Yeah, was it Hubie?
I think it was Hubie. Know.
It was Hubes. Yeah. Because that was after the Dick versus Ace run. Yeah.
04, 05. Man, that team was nice.
Yeah. No, they had a good
Pau Gasol,
team.
Pau Gasol on that team. Yeah.
They traded Mike Bibby and they had Jason Williams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mike Miller. Oh, that team was nice,
yeah,
yo.
No wonder why they lost all the games that they lost. They just threw a whole bunch of dudes who could play and didn't really care about anybody else on the same squad. Yeah, no,
it's entertainment. It's entertainment, right?
See what happens when you mention Luke Kornet on the Bulls Talk podcast? You get a Strowman Swift walk down memory lane.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, everyone talks about all the Bulls players that get traded and go blossom other places. No one talks about Luke Kornet, you know? Man, no one talks about
that. You talk, hey, listen. This is for anybody, because people have been blowing me up since that Utah game. What you think about Lauri Markkanen now? Same thing I thought about him before. Same thing.
That he had all the talent all to be that player. Yeah.
All of it. That's all the stuff we were all talking about for a couple of years until I realized that you ain't going to get that out of Mary Knight here. And then he went to Cleveland and found it again, and now he's in Utah having a ball. Like your atmosphere matters, your environment matters. He didn't unlearn how to shoot a basketball. Mm-hmm. He didn't unlearn how to dribble a basketball at 7 feet. He didn't unlearn how to, you know, Lowry's understanding of angles and when he's aggressive and how he understands angles. You saw it on display. There was nothing the Bulls could do. No one could stay in front of him. He beat everybody to the punch. What are they at? 23 in the first half?
24. He had a couple. There was a hot from three element to that where they were catching shoot. But he had a couple slips and cuts. And, like, they're just using him in a very fun
smart
way.
In a good way.
Yeah, yeah.
A good way. Right, right. Yeah. They're not asking him to be.
They got his mid-range game working. He's creating for himself off the dribble. Yeah.
He's setting screens and getting the ball. Like, whatever they got going on in Utah, like, they're going to, you know, they're going to start to lose here because.
Well, they've lost five in a row. I mean, they've come back to earth a little bit, like, just being realistic about it. But, and even, like, that fourth quarter, once the Bulls got into them a little bit, they started throwing the ball around a little bit. You could see it's a young team.
I thought the Kobe White shot being the dagger.
Yeah.
I thought that was a play of the game because of what DeMar did and how he did it. Because that ball could easily go down to Vooch, right? And he saw the one guy leaving before he actually even threw the ball to Vooch, and he was like, oh, this is a great, easy pass, good look.
It was the same thing in the Milwaukee game.
Yeah,
it
man.
It was the same look.
Yeah. You know, I think the Bulls are tougher than they understand they are. Like, there's a certain toughness there that once it gets going and once they stop thinking and you just have to just either be tough or not, right? Like, once things slow down and physically they're not as strong as other teams are, especially in the backcourt. Like, you see the Milwaukee thing stands out to me. Like, you see Drew Holiday and you put him up against anybody in the Bulls backcourt, you're like, there's going to be some issue. The Drew can stick fours. And then you get to Chris Middleton when he gets healthy, and that's an ox. And you got Giannis, you got Bobby, you got Brooke, you got a whole bunch of dudes.
They're like a bunch of Autobots running around.
Shout out to the Transformers reference right there, my guy. But I'm like, you know, but when it's time to be tough in terms of bouncing back in a tough moment or finding somebody because you're getting squeezed into a situation where the defense is forcing you to make a tough decision. Like, the Bulls got it. They have enough of it. And that's why it's so maddening to watch them struggle through a quarter here or there, get off to these horrific starts where they're down by 10 to a team. Or, you know, for me, it's the 60-point halves. Anytime I see 60 for the other team in a half, I don't give a damn if the Bulls got 59, 63, 64. This is from now until the end of time. You shouldn't be giving up 30 points apiece in the first couple of quarters. At some point,
You got to have some lineup out there that's going to be like, nah, if we ain't, it's fine if we don't score, but y'all ain't scoring like that on us. And those are the issues I have with the Bulls so far this season, because that, you know, you're not going to be able to shoot over that every single night.
Well, no, especially not this Bulls team, as we've detailed ad nauseum. Yeah. Although they found a way against Utah, got to the line a bunch. Utah missing all the free throws. And I just said we weren't going to talk about the games. Let's do the
Billy thing.
Let's do the news of the day, because yeah, that's how we were going to start this, and now we're 40 minutes in. Yeah.
Shout out to them.
This is going
to
be a fun promo tweet. Stromile Swift is going to appear in the new Bull stuff. He's going to be one of the bullet points
on the latest BTP. They talk about Stro Show.
And if you watch on YouTube, you could see Rob Schaefer do the bird
just like Luke Cornett did it.
Yeah, Billy Donovan got a secret extension.
That sounds dirty.
What are you?
Shout out to Billy, I guess. You know.
Let me. Oh,
I mean, you know, right.
Oh no!
Right in time for holiday season.
Oh no! It took me a second. All right, Billy Donovan got a contract extension of the 4-year deal that he signed before the start of the season.
Yeah,
we didn't know,
because we had a lot of conversations about that. Like,
what do you mean?
Not knowing that he was already extended.
Points
were made that
he shouldn't be a lame duck.
Yeah. Like on the all season and off season.
Wait, what are you?
No, I'm just talking about.
No,
like,
we had the conversation about.
Oh, if we didn't know,
an important year,
right?
And
yeah,
how you can't go into next year being a lame duck coach, and Jerry Reinsdorf had already inked the deal and just kept it from everybody. Right.
How many times do you think they listened to us and was like, they don't even know?
Well, they listen a little bit more than we'd like to think. Shout out to, shout out to Susan.
I don't know.
How do you feel about it?
We could do I won't do the reporter thing first. Yeah, I'll give my personal opinion. Mm. It's a little weird. Like,
it's a lot weird.
It's a lot weird. Like, it's a PR layup to extend your head coach who just snapped the 4-year playoff drought, had the first winning record since 2015-16 or whatever. It's a PR layup to announce that yourself in the offseason, do your victory lap, fanfare, gets asked about on media day, you get to tout, we want continuity on the roster, we want continuity in the coaching staff too, we have great synergy between the front office and the coaching staff, because, I know there are fans, there's a fire Billy or Billy should be on the hot seat contingent of fans out there. Yeah. And I totally respect, people having their opinions, regardless of whether this extension news came out or not. Anybody that's close to the team would have told you he is not on the hot seat, at all, at the very least. Right. And I'm not saying, I actually knew the whole time and then it got broken out of nowhere. I'm not trying to say that. It's just that would have been the answer you would have gotten from anybody around the team, internally, externally, regardless. I just don't really understand, one, it coming out 20 games into the season, because like I said, it's so easy for you to celebrate it more in the offseason, and it comes with less of this side eye of, oh, really? You're under 500 a quarter of the way through the season, and now it comes out? Like, there's a little, what's really going on here with that?
Weird timing.
And then the second part of it is, obviously, if you like your coach and believe in your coach, which the Bulls clearly do, you don't want him to be a lame duck going to the last year of a contract without an extension. This was not the last year of his contract. Mm-hmm. I'm young. I don't really know the precedent for extending, because it's a multiple year extension after 2023-24. I don't know what the precedent is for extending multiple years on top of multiple years already being left. I don't really get what the upside of doing that is when there's still things to be proven with this coaching staff and with this core.
Oh, you don't get the
reason
the
for
extension.
The length of it.
Well, I don't get the timing when you have another year to kind of evaluate if this core and this group of people is going to
go into next year.
Take the step forward.
They couldn't go into next year with him not being signed.
Well, I'm not saying that, but do it next offseason. That's what's a little, I'm like, what's the upside of doing it now versus...
You might lose your coach.
After this year, we're going to start this conversation after the season ends.
Let me...
The season doesn't go the way you want it to go and more attractive jobs open up.
Well, maybe if the season doesn't go the way you want it to go, you want to reset anyway or shake things up anyway.
Do you think with the coaching hiring history here in Chicago that it is as an attractive job as we think it is?
I don't know. I mean, we're
taking a job.
Yeah.
To be honest.
It's hard to say without knowing how the season plays out and what the team.
What I'm saying is, yeah. if you can run the risk of losing a guy like Billy Donovan, are you sure that you are going to get a better coach or replacement level coach when it comes to it?
That's fair. Okay, that's fair. And this comes back to something that I meant to say earlier, where my personal opinion is just that I don't think Billy is the biggest problem with this team right now. If you want to talk, like
I don't
know that he's a championship level coach necessarily. And there's another thing where it's like, all right, shoot, for at least the next 4 years, you kind of aren't going to be at that level with your head coach necessarily, unless Billy has another level to go to.
He's been around for a little while now.
He has been, and I don't see a prime Kevin Durant and Westbrook like talent infusion on the horizon necessarily. I want to bring up one thing that Joe Cali at the Sun-Times had, because I'm obviously not on the road.
Such a jerk.
They talked to Billy. That's our guy. They talked to Billy yesterday, reporters did, and it's a quote from his story on it in the Sun-Times. This is Cali writing, for his, Billy Donovan's part, he didn't seek out an extension before the season. Quote from Billy, very, very humbled, very appreciative, grateful. Arturis came to me over the summer to talk about it. We had that conversation. For me, it's really important who I'm working with, all the relationship stuff we've told you. So that to me is like, now obviously you're going to say one thing publicly and maybe it's not, who knows?
I don't think Billy was worried about it.
I don't know that he was either.
Start thinking about it.
No, I don't think, in a different way though, I don't think Billy was worried about it Billy's going to be able to get another gig when this one's over. Mm-hmm. And if this one was going to be over next year, Billy would be landing somewhere that needed the A to B kind of vibes that he provides. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you know, I was talking to somebody close to the team who said that, you know, Billy Donovan has been able to, since his professional career started, say, yo, I have coached Chris Paul. I've coached Paul George. I've coached Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. You know, now he's going to be able to say, I've coached Zach LaVine. I've coached DeMar DeRozan in a resurgent, you know, rebirth type of, you know, third act to his career. I've coached Nikola Vucevic. I've brought up Io DeSumo, depending on what Io is going to become like. And then you take that to the next stop. So, you know, Billy Donovan, there are probably 17 to 18 worse coaches than Billy Donovan in the NBA right now. And those teams know that as well. So Billy Donovan knows that, okay, if this don't work the way it's supposed to, then, hey, Brooklyn, here I come. Or, you know, or Philadelphia, you tie to Doc Rivers, here I come. You know, because the Mike Budenholzer example, to me, you know, Mike Budenholzer got the job in Atlanta, grew that team, and they hit their ceiling.
And the consensus at the end of that was probably what I just said, not a championship-level coach, and that would have been wrong.
And then he went to Milwaukee.
So
you're only a championship-level coach if you got that dude or two of those dudes.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Doc Rivers was getting laughed out of everybody's NBA conversations in Orlando. He was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you put three dudes together in Boston – things change now.
And then 10 years later.
Exactly.
So, and that's why when we talk about
shout out to Doc,
that's why when we talk about championship ceiling, I go to the front office for pointing out the flaws in this team and this roster and this situation before I go to
Billy,
to be honest. Like, yeah. I just do. This is my opinion. I'm not telling anybody how to feel about it.
When Boylan got the extension, we didn't even know the details until like a year later or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
They don't do it.
So that's what I'm thinking. Like, is this bigger than AK, or was this an agreed upon thing with AK to
keep it quiet?
Yeah,
I genuinely don't know.
I think this is an organizational ownership philosophy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the Bulls have had a way of doing things when it comes to local media that keeps them at bay long enough to where it's like, you'll get what we give you. Problem is, in this era, there's 1,000 phones that can't wait to tell you what's going on inside that building, so it makes it look kind of funny when 20 games into a season that comes out when you could have, like you mentioned, a layup. It would have been a layup.
And it would have been
this is what we're doing. And the continuity.
And it would have been good. It would have been
the continuity theme that they were touting.
You get to explain it too. Yeah.
What's more stream-like than saying, by the way, the guys that we've signed are going to be coached by the dude who's been here. So I don't know.
Yeah. And it would, you know, I'm sure Billy, I'm not saying that he would take offense to something like this, but it also would be a service to Billy to do it that way. Now he's going to get
a public high five.
Now there's a public high five, and now there's like going to be a slant to the questioning about it. That's like the news is colored, is backward. There's the background of the news now is the weird timing.
Yeah,
that's almost more of a story than the story itself.
Right. We're not focusing on, okay, they really believe in Billy.
This crew.
This is what do we project now with Billy helming this going forward. Now it's why now? Why on a road trip where they don't come back to the local media till the following week? Like, why? Why do this right now and have it leak in a situation where nothing really leaks from that organization? So who else would have given that to Shams?
Hey, I don't know. This is what happens when simple isn't done, right? Like,
We're spinning ourselves in circles right now, but it's kind of
it's
a product of the situation.
Yeah, when you don't do simple, this is what it looks like. Like, it would have been simple to just say, this is our guy going forward till 26, 27, whatever the case may be, and you know, Bulls fans, you know, because in the end, who, like, when did you think that Bulls fans were going to ask, all right, so is he signed? Or because
it would have been next offseason. It would have been next offseason going into the contract year, probably. Although the question had been asked at, I think, exit interviews last year. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember what the answer was from Billy. But to me, I thought, you know, again, this is just my assumption. Like, I'm always happy to be wrong about stuff like this, as I was. I just thought 2 years into a 4-year contract, it just was not on my radar that it was this feasible until it obviously happened.
And I mean, it also means that they like where this is going and they like where this is headed, which is,
to
some of the fan base is like.
And they may know that this is only halfway through the book and all the things that we're watching right now might be to keep us satiated and keep them in this relevancy space. You know, because we talked about it, a year ago? Like, who are the guys that are on this team now that when this team is time to win a championship, whenever that is, are going to be here? And I don't know who those guys are. And that's including the guy that you signed for $215 million, right? Like, he's going to be here for a substantial amount of time, right? But, you know, if 3 years from now Zach LaVine was somewhere else, you know, it's the NBA business. I wouldn't be surprised. So maybe they're looking at the long-term part of, okay, if we have the infrastructure and we have the developer and the architect.
And the synergy between the two arms.
You know, too big to fail kind of vibes. But you got to make sure that you get those results along the way.
It's fair. Right. I think the big picture of extending it, like, I'm not as offended by the extension itself as the way that it rolled out. Because I think Billy's a good coach. And he's done a good job. And he's done, I think, about as well as you could have expected.
I would like to know what type of team Billy Donovan wants to coach, though.
That's my thing. Because he had all the things in Oklahoma City at one point in time. All the different levels of an organization I feel like he experienced in OKC, and for some reason that wasn't good enough.
He's had an undeniable superstar on each one of those rosters.
So you come here, and it felt like to me when they signed him, it was, why he left is he didn't want to be a part of a bottom-out rebuild.
That's exactly what I
feel
was
like
bring up.
With this extension, do they actually plan to push the gas on this through that period and not hit a rebuild? I think they're closer to a rebuild than they are winning a championship.
But I think that's what it says. Like, there's this conversation out in the ether right now that I don't think is realistic. The tanking conversation, the should they burn it down?
It's
gonna
go the other way before it goes.
Exactly right. And I think the Billy Oklahoma City dynamic, this like locks that in.
They got the taste of DeMar DeRozan and Lonzo Ball coming here on their own, with their own due diligence being done, and you know, for years, this was the place that free agents didn't come to. For years. I remember going to O'Hare, meeting Carlos Boozer at the airport and being like, this is the free agent hall, right? Now, you fast forward, same fan base, you know, different generation of fans. There's some 16, 17-year-old kids that think that the Bulls get free agents. I mean, be real, right? So if it ain't the rebuild, when that Vooch money comes off and when that Lonzo money comes off and when that DeMar money comes off, you're hoping you're looking at Zach LaVine like, hey, you the old dog, and we're going to make sure that you're the third best player on this team. It's time to go out here and get people. Like, I think that's what they're looking at instead of the other way. I don't see any teardown happening with this squad.
Totally
on any major level. Like, if they're sellers at the trade deadline because they were bad or injuries happened, okay. But I don't see it leaking into an offseason where we're talking about who the next big Frenchman is because that's who the Bulls are trying to get after, you know, Wembanyama goes wherever he goes.
And frankly, as long as the Lonzo thing is hanging in the
I'm not saying it's the right thing. I'm just saying it's the most likely thing. They ain't tearing nothing down around here.
Especially when the Lonzo question is still open-ended. Got to see what you have. And again, I'm not saying it's right, but that's my read on it. And you know, two seasons
open ended as it seems.
What do you say?
I don't think that's as open ended as I don't think it's very likely that
it's more
this contract is over. Lonzo Ball is going to be with this team.
Yeah, it's kind of early. I want to see how the injury stuff plays out, but I'm not optimistic about how that's playing out.
How could you be? I don't think Lonzo knows if he wants to be here after this deal is over.
Well. Let's just get him playing basketball, man. Like before we even get there,
man.
You know.
Like, I miss seeing this cat for the 40-some-odd games that
I forgot how he. I need to see it.
And you feel bad for the human too. That's the other thing.
It's something to be said for the forgetting what Lonzo Ball looked like because there was a lot of conversation going on about like you know Lonzo being the head of the snake and I agree with it, but it's not like Lonzo was out here. You know,
not a perfect
Mark
player.
Jackson in it or Chris Paul in it, and you know, like, all right, you go here, no, you go there. No. Lonzo is get the ball off the rim, run it up the court, or throw
and
it
like
up the court.
What this team needs on a consistent basis, he wasn't that either in terms of like.
I mean, he's a shooter, spot up shooter.
I meant just with the intangible.
He meant like you mean like the stuff you were talking about with matchup recognition and putting guys in the right places in a half court setting and pick and roll, get to the free throw line. Like that's not
putting guys in the right place. Speaking of, did you guys see during that Utah game where Kobe grabbed Zach LaVine and slung him defensively where he needed to be?
I didn't see that.
Go back and
I might have to go back and rewatch
that. Go back and watch the Utah game where I'm watching the backpedal happen, and I see Kobe White grab Zach LaVine. I'm like,
come on, 215. Come on, 215.
Like, but I loved it, though, because it's like, hey, nobody's uncheckable. If that's the vibe that you got, then I'm cool with that. Because that means it doesn't matter what your price tag is. We got a possession here, right? So I was, you know, there's little things, little signs. You know, very, very little signs.
And the last thing I was going to say, two, three seasons goes by quickly. I mean, we're in the third season of Billy Donovan in the front office. Man, it feels like yesterday that they got hired.
Yeah.
The other thing you were talking about, you know, the contracts that come up, the shifting of the guard of the old guys to the older guys to like the younger developing guys. The draft picks reset pretty soon too. You know, as much as it feels bleak that Bulls are giving the Magic their first round pick this year in all likelihood, and they all won in 25. You know, it's possible that this gets reset. You know,
in 2 years.
Maybe. I don't know. Let's get through this season. Right?
That's the slogan for the year. Let's get through the season, guys.
I mean, does it feel like a roller coaster to you guys? Even
no,
only
it
20 games
not
in?
A roller coaster.
A low impact.
Yeah.
Less fun roller coaster.
No, it doesn't feel like a roller coaster. It feels like a spoonful of basketball castor oil is what it feels like right now.
You have such a way with
it's
words.
Helping you somehow. You're just like, at some point I'm going to have the runs.
Take this Father John.
Oh, 17% of our podcast audience will get that reference.
Yeah.
God it's bless fine. You, Tony.
It's fine.
Shout out to everybody who listened to the first 45 minutes, by the way, to get to the 7 minutes of Ernest Bulls.
Hey, I mean, you know, this is what happens when you invite me to come in here with my foolishness, you know?
No, it's fun, man. This was a fun one.
It was.
Stromile Swift got mentioned, dog. Like, I'm good for the day.
Tony, close us out.
Tony?
This is the Bulls Talk Podcast, presented by Toyota. Thank you guys for checking out. Watch us on YouTube. Make sure you like, subscribe, do all those things. Give us a 5-star rating. We appreciate that, too.
Yeah.
For Jason Goff, Rob Schaefer, Tony Gill, Claire Philpy, we'll catch you guys next time.